We present Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid with Peter Sinclair as grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Leonard Williams as Theodore Craythorpe, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, and Diana Day as Susan in...
The Not-So-Welcome Guest.
Here's a cup of tea, Mr. Craythorpe.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Susan.
And yours, Grandad.
Thanks, my dear.
You say Mrs. Clitheroe left only 5 minutes ago.
Aye, and it's a pity you didn't get here sooner, then you'd be gone as well.
Pardon?
He means you could have walked down to the shops with her.
Oh, I see.
What's doing up there?
Who?
Jimmy is up the stairs.
It sounds as though he's coming down and bringing the ceiling with him.
He's in my bedroom. Excuse me while I go and see what he's up to.
He was at the zoo yesterday. You'll probably find he's borrowed one of the elephants.
That's right. Joke about it. They ruin him in this house. He can get away with anything just because he's a boy. If he's throwing my things about, I'll throw him. What are you doing?
Hey, Yop!
Oh, you little...
Why don't you look where you're going?
Me? I walk in my own bedroom and you hurl yourself at me.
I was doing somersaults over the bed. I'm practicing for the gym display at school.
Well, you're not using my bed. Look, you've made a blinking great hollow in the middle of the mattress.
So what? If you lie on your back, you could fill one twice as big as that.
I'll smack you. I will.
I'm not scared of a soppy girl.
We'll see. Come here, you little imp.
Oh, get off. Help, Grandad. Help! Oh, Susan's gone mad! Send for the vet!
Oh, no. You're not scared, crouching behind the bed like a frightened mouse.
Oh, yes. Well, this mouse has got a pillar, so you better watch it, or the cat'll get herself a smack in the puss.
You wouldn't dare throw that pillow at me.
Oh, no. I'll give you 3 to get out of this room. 1. Are you going?
No.
2. I mean it.
Go on.
2.5. It's your last chance.
I'm not moving.
Right. 3. Oh, heck, it's gone.
Now you've done it. Wait till I tell Mother you threw a pillow out of the window.
It was your fault you moved. Where's it gone? Oh, it's on the coal house roof.
Mother only put that pillowcase on this morning. It'll be black now.
Well, when you put your head on it, it'll make your face look clean. Anyway, I've only got to get the ladder and it'll be down in 2 ticks.
Grandad said that ladder is dangerous. It was creaking like mad when he was on it yesterday.
No wonder with his weight on it. Don't forget he's got a built-in barrel. I'll get Mr. Craythorpe to go up. I'll bet he doesn't weigh more than 6 stone wringing wet. Anyway, it's got nothing to do with you. Who goes up the ladder?
Well, I think you all spoil him, Grandad. You treat it as a joke, and Mr. Craythorpe goes out to climb up and get the pillow for him.
Now, Susan, it was only a boyish prank. It'll do Craythorpe good to get a bit of exercise.
Susan, have you got something Mr. Craythorpe can put on to keep his clothes tidy?
Hasn't he got that pillow down yet?
Got it down? The way things are going, it'd be quicker to make Susan's bed on the coal house roof. Honestly, you'd think he was climbing Mount Everest.
You are ungrateful.
All right. Look, he can't reach the pillow from the ladder. He'll have to lay across the roof. So he wants something to put over his suit. Your apron will do.
He doesn't want to wear an apron.
Why not? He was wearing one the other day when I called at their house. He was cooking the dinner.
Well, that's because his sister is away for a fortnight.
This was before his sister went away. She was in the garden chopping wood.
Oh, here you are, then. Take the apron.
Theodore will be glad when his sister does come back.
Why, is he running short of wood?
No, he's having to run away from Mrs. Eccles.
Fatty Eccles? Well, he won't have to run so fast to lose her. What a size! She dashed after a bus the other day, and her feet were on the platform for 2 minutes before the rest of her stopped running.
Aye. But she's a widow looking for a second husband. And they always say...
Grandad, you don't want to be telling him things like that. He's only a child.
Oh, Grandmama, what a big mouth you've got.
Aye, you're right, Susan. I just didn't think. Now, off you go, Jem, and take that mountaineer his apron.
Oh, heck, I forgot Sherpa Craythorpe was still up his ladder. Here you are, Mr. Craythorpe. I borrowed an apron for you.
You've had time to make me one. Here, tie it behind my back. Thank you. Now hold the ladder.
Right, Mr. Craythorpe, up you go.
I don't know why I let you talk me into these things, Jem. There, got it. Here, catch the pillow.
Right, throw it. Thanks, Mr. Craythorpe, you're a pal.
Hold tight, James. I'm coming down the ladder now.
I'll just go and show Scraggy Annie that a pillar's safe. Here you are, nuisance. There's your blinking pillar.
Thank you for nothing.
Now, Susan, you've got it back and it's not marked very much.
She's got no manners, Grandad.
I'll thank Mr. Craythorpe, not you.
Where is Edmund Hillary?
He's coming down the ladder. Oh, heck, I've got to hold it while he comes down. I think he's managed to get down without my help.
Is there anything else I can do, Mother?
No, thank you, Susan. Theodore's resting quite comfortably now. In fact, he looks as though he'll be asleep in a moment.
Has the doctor gone?
Yes, Grandad's just taken him downstairs. He says Theodore'll have to be in bed for at least a week.
If it was anything to do with me, Jimmy wouldn't be able to sit down for a week.
Well, it isn't anything to do with you, Nosy Parker.
Now, Jimmy, don't you start again. Susan's quite right. You deserve a good spanking. And Grandad would have given you one if Mr. Craythorpe hadn't stuck up for you.
Well, I'm letting Grandad have my bedroom, and I'm sharing with Mr. Craythorpe. And that spare bed's lumpy, you know.
Oh, what a shame. For a whole week, the poor little boy will miss his beauty sleep.
From the look of your mug, you've been missing yours for years.
If you start at me once more...
All right, that's enough. Mr. Craythorpe's resting in the bedroom there.
That's right, ma'am. You tell her.
I'm telling you both.
I wasn't shouting. It was loudmouth Lizzie here.
Now then. Now, what are you up to now, Jimmy?
Well, I like that. I get blamed for everything. If Susan hadn't come up to the bedroom in the first place, I wouldn't have thrown the pillow at her.
That's enough, Jimmy.
All right now. Calm down now. Get away to your bed.
Nobody likes me.
Stop trying to get sympathy. I suppose you say it was my fault for not closing the window.
Yes. Or better still, instead of closing the window, when I threw the pillar, you could have opened your mouth and swallowed it.
Jimmy, you've said enough. Now, go on, off you go.
Oh, Mum, it's early yet.
You heard your mother. Go on now.
Off to bed. I'm going. Good night, Mum.
Good night, son.
Good night, Jim.
Good night, Grandad. Susan, good riddance. Ooh, look at Sleeping Beauty. Mr. Craythorpe. Hey, Mr. Craythorpe. Rip Van Winkle.
What's that?
Oh, are you awake?
I am now. What is it, Jane?
I just thought that while I'm getting ready for bed, you might like to have a chat, since you can't sleep.
I'm sure you're very kind, but I have no intention of staying awake to talk to you.
Are you going to talk to me in your sleep? Me grandad talks in his sleep.
Well, I don't. Good night.
He got cross when I shared his room.
I wonder why.
Well, every time he talked in his sleep, I woke him up to listen to himself.
That's very interesting. Now, good night.
He sings as well.
I'm sure that the neighbours must love it. Go to sleep.
I belong to Glasgow, a dear old Glasgow town.
James!
That's what me grandad sings in his sleep.
I don't care. I feel very tempted to put you to sleep to see whether you sing.
I don't, but grandad says I snore and whistle.
Yes, well, if you go to sleep, I might be able to hear it for myself.
I'll show you now.
James, will you keep quiet?
I'm sorry, but you said you wanted to hear it.
Well, I've changed my mind. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Craythorpe. Hey, how do you know, anyway?
How do I know what?
That you don't talk in your sleep. You said you didn't.
I don't know. It's so long since I had any sleep. For all I know, I do cartwheels all over the bedroom or dance the Highland Fling. For the last time, good night.
Good night, Mr. Craythorpe.
What now? Are you lying on a feather?
No. I was just thinking of you doing the Harlan fling in your nightshirt.
If there is one more interruption from you, I shall chastise you most severely.
I'm sorry, Mr. Craythorpe. I didn't know you were getting bad-tempered.
Well, I am bad-tempered. I'm furious.
You know what's wrong with you, don't you?
What?
You're not getting enough sleep.
Pat, how long is that noise going to go on?
Now, Father, it's very kind of Theodore to help Jimmy with his music lessons. After all, you suggested that it would be easier if I made up a bed for Theodore in the front room.
Well, it saved you having to carry his food upstairs. And anyway, I wanted my own bed back.
Yeah, that's the real truth.
All right.
I'm going down to the shops, but I don't want you going in there while I'm out. Oh, that'll be Alfie Hall for our Susan. I'll let him in on my way out.
Well, for once I'll be glad to hear him gabbling. It might drown the noise of that little rusty Conway in there.
Hello, Mrs. Clitheroe.
Hello, Alfie. I'm just going out. So would you like to go on in the living room and chat with Mr. Sinclair? Susan's upstairs, but she won't be long.
Right, yeah. I suppose that piano pounding means Mr. Craythorpe's still with you, so I expect I'll have to take your Susan out again, because it's no use going in your front room when he's on our sofa. I don't mean that I don't want to take her out, but we've seen the same picture 3 times this week, and the manager keeps sneaking round, flashing his torch on us on the back rock. Have you had your hair done?
Yes, I had it permed at the pictures. I mean, at the hairdressers. Oh, look, Alfie, go and talk to Jim's granddad, will you, please?
That's all. Ta-da.
Goodbye.
Hello, Alfie. Have you come to hear the recital?
No, I didn't know you were reciting. I'd like to hear you, though.
I meant the musical recital. Mind you, I'd like to give Craythorpe a sharp, sharp version of this sailor's farewell.
Oh, I don't know that one. But there's one I remember when I was a kid. Said the big black rooster to the little brown hen, you haven't laid a egg since heaven knows when. Said the little brown hen to the big black rooster, you don't come round as often as you used to.
Oh, Alfie, that's the first laugh I've had since Craythorpe fell off that ladder. Oh, no, I can't stand any more. Jimmy, come here.
Yeah, you all right, Mr. Sinclair?
I am now.
What do you want, Grandad?
Peace and quiet. Now sit down. I've had all the music I can take.
It just goes to show, music doesn't always soothe the savage beast.
Carry on, Jim. I'd sooner have your funny little cracks than hear you murdering an innocent piano.
Well, I don't want to do the blinking piano practice anyway. It's Crazy Otto in there. I'd like to stick his conk in the piano wires.
I think we'll all be glad to see the back of him.
What's that?
It's Mr. Whittle tapping on the window.
Oh, no. Well, that does it. I couldn't stand laughing boy Whittle on top of everything else.
Well, I'll have to let him in, Grandad.
All right, but I'll get my coat and you can let me out at the same time.
All right, Grandad.
Oh, there, me little whacker.
Hello, Mr. Whittle. Come in.
So very much, Jim. Hey, Jim, I seen your man up the road, and she tells me you've got a casualty in the house.
Yes, it's Mr. Craythorpe, and he's not the only one. He's had me on the piano that long, I think I've sprained me tiddlywink finger.
I heard the din from next door. But it's not as bad as your old granddad's bagpipes. Oh, I'm not kidding, Jim. If Robert the Bruce played the bagpipes, it's no wonder the spider went up the wall.
Hello there, Whittle. I wasn't sure whether that was your voice or they were testing the air raid sirens again.
Oh, hello there, Pete. My, what a sight you are in that satty overcoat and the kilt. You look all right, buddy Charlie.
I'm sorry I can't stay to talk to you. I've got some urgent business on.
Oh, I didn't know they were open yet, Jock. Anyway, I'll tell you what I've come about. From what Pat says, it sounds to me like Craythorpe's leg trouble is he's pulled a cartridge. So I thought I'd have a gander at his pins, like.
You do that. I'm away.
You see, Pete, it's like a chap we once had when we was building the road to Morocco. Now, what we've done for this fella, we made a poultice with half a spoonful of Isle of Jupiter, a mitts full of that crystals of pomegranate of potash, and stuck the lot into a gill of horse liniment.
And that cured the fella's leg?
Cured it? He finished fourth in the Grand National. How are you going there, Jock?
Yeah, well, I've got myself going. Goodbye.
Hey, he's a funny chap, your granddad, Jiminy. No sense of humour at all. Must be with eating all that porridge. It's clogged up his funny bone.
Oh, but he thinks you're funny. He says every time he sees your face, he has to laugh.
Well, that's 1 o'clock for me. Well, it's only tit for tat, or as the French say, salve latterly. But seriously, Jim, I'd better take a look at that geezer Craythorpe, because I might be able to sort of elevate his suffering.
Well, I wish you would. He's driving me mad with his grumbling. James, my pillows aren't straight. Draw the curtains, James. The sunlight hurts. James, hand me my clean bed socks. James, my hot water bottle needs filling. So I filled it. With boiling hot water. I thought this'll warm thee. And it did. I slipped it under him while he was lying on his side reading. And he sat on it. Ooh, I can still see the mark of his hair cream on the ceiling.
Well, if his trouble's what I think it is, Jim, in no time, I'll have him leaping round that room like Anton Dooley, doing one of his pirouettes and entry chats.
Oh, just a minute while I answer the phone.
That's all right, Jim. The victim's in the front room, isn't he?
Yes.
Well, I'll just tootle in and make with the Al Massage.
Hello?
Is that Clitterose?
No, this is the rest home for sick cats and Craythorpes. I have a message for you.
What is it?
Meow!
What? This is Mrs. Eccles here.
Oh, Fatty Eccles. It's Jimmy Clitheroe speaking.
I'm ringing up about poor Mr. Craythorpe. How is he? Is he being looked after?
He's being taken care of at the moment. We've called in Dr. Whittle from the slaughterhouse.
Is there anything I can do to help?
Oh, there you are, Jimmy.
Shh! I'm onto something with Fatty Eccles. Mrs. Eccles, I want to talk to you about Mr. Craythorpe, so I'll pop round.
Well, give me a few minutes, because I'm not at home. Our phone's out of order and I'm stuck in a call box.
Well, why don't you dial the fire brigade? They'll get you out.
You what?
Oh, nothing. See you later. Ta-ra.
What were all that about?
Alfie, I've just thought of a way to get rid of Mr. Craythorpe.
Yeah, well, I should do it now while he's still alive. There's blue murder going on in that front room.
What? Oh, yes, Mr. Whittle. Come on, I don't want to miss this. Just push the door open a bit.
For the last time, take your hands off me, you subhuman bulldozer.
I'll just keep still, Theo. Now, tell me, does this hurt with a thumpet?
Ow! Oh, the pain, the agony, the torture.
Now, don't get historical. Just tell me, does it hurt?
Hurt? It's like 1,000 devils sticking red hot needles in me.
Well, it's a bit of fluid on the back of your heel. It's what we call a Chile's tender. It wants draining up. I'll nip home for my bag of tools.
No. What do you want his bag of tools for?
Well, either it's the doctor's do-it-yourself kit, or he's going to do some plumbing on Mr. Craythorpe's pipes.
Oh, my leg. It's still throbbing. James, don't ever allow that all-in wrestler in here again.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Craythorpe, but he is our neighbour, and we all like him, especially Mum.
Oh, really? I suppose that in her eyes I don't come up to Mr. Whittle's standards.
Why not? If you're an animal lover, a mouse is no different from a lion.
There's no need to be facetious, James. You may be indifferent to my suffering, but at least your mother isn't.
Oh, no. She wants you to get better as quick as you can.
I'm sure she does.
Yes. This morning she said, the sooner Theodore's fit enough to leave this house, the better.
James, are you speaking the truth?
Well, it was something like that. And she doesn't want you to worry about staying here a long time. She said, it's not costing you anything.
Really? Well, I'm sorry your mother thinks I'm such a burden to her. If she objects to having to cook for me and look after me, it gives me no satisfaction whatever. I have no wish to remain under this roof when inconvenience is being caused. No wish at all.
I don't know what's got into Theodore, Father, but I must say I don't like his attitude.
Well, don't tell me he's ungrateful after all you're doing for him.
Well, that's the way it seems to me. I wouldn't care, but he never complains to me. It's all done behind my back. Jimmy's told me some of the things he said about me thinking he's a burden to me, and I won't be able to laugh at him much longer. And when he says that my cooking gives him no satisfaction whatever, well, that's the limit.
Look, why don't you let me go in there? I'll soon drag that little silkworm out of his cocoon.
No, no, Father, this is my problem, and I'll deal with it in my own way. I'm going to take this cup of tea into him right now. And if he so much as hints at his feelings, I shall have it out with him, really, I will.
And I notice, James, that your mother usually brings me a cup of tea about this time. But tonight it appears I've had it.
Well, perhaps she's doing it for your own good. I mean, as Grandad said, with the amount you drink at the town hall, you must have a tummy like the inside of a tea urn.
James, I think I've heard about enough of my failings for one day.
Well, now I've cheered you up, I'll go out and play. Oh, hello, ma'am. I'm just going.
Well, where are you, Jimmy? Oh, well, perhaps it's as well if I were left alone with Theodore. He might have something private he wants to say to me.
Right, ma'am. I'll go and close the keyhole, the door.
Your cup of tea, Theodore.
Oh, thank you. I thought you'd forgotten it. Still, I don't suppose you'll be making for me much longer.
Oh, were you thinking of leaving, then?
Well, I'm sure it would solve a few problems if I did.
Well, if you think that way, don't let me keep you here.
I wouldn't dream of doing such a thing.
It's all going according to plan. Now all I've got to do is get cracking on Fatty Eccles. So you see, Mrs. Eccles, I'm sure Mr. Craythorpe's not happy with us, is he, Alfie?
Well, I can't really.
There you are. Alfie agrees with me. That's why we've come round to see you.
Well, I'd only be too happy to help, because Mr. Craythorpe's always been very kind to me, and a woman like me remembers these things.
Yes, they say an elephant never forgets.
You what, Jimmy?
Oh, nothing. Are you going in the kitchen, Mrs. Eccles?
Yes, I've left the oven on, and I think my apple dumplings are done.
Alfie, I think we're winning. If we play our cards right, there'll be a husband for Fatty Eccles and a dumpling each for you and me. Look out, she's coming back. Now, you just agree with everything I say. Don't be daft, Alfie. We know Mr. Craythorpe wants to move out, but he can't just come here.
What was that?
You see, Alfie, me mum couldn't tell Mr. Craythorpe to come here because he might think he's not wanted, and he can't say he wants to come here because he doesn't want to offend me mum.
You mean he does want to come here?
Alfie, stand by with the net. I'm reeling her in.
Look, you tell your mum and Mr. Craythorpe that he's more than welcome here. I'll get the spare room ready and call for him in a taxi after dinner tomorrow.
Good. I'll tell him at home.
You were right, Jim. It's whale meat for supper tonight.
Here you are, Mr. Craythorpe, your 11s. It's cocoa this... Hey! You're out of bed and dressed.
I know, James. Just pass me your grandfather's walking stick and I'll be ready to go.
But I told you, Fatty Eccles isn't coming till this afternoon.
I know. That's why I'm getting out this morning.
What?
I refuse to be trapped under the same roof as that man-chasing Amazon. I'm going to summon all my strength and hobble back to my own house.
Well, there's gratitude for you. And after Fatty sending that smashing steak and kidney pudding round...
I never tasted any steak and kidney pudding.
Well, take my word for it, it was smashing.
But I'm playing bridge this afternoon.
I don't know about playing bridge. With her muscles, she should be building one.
Oh, there you are, Mr. Craythorpe. And you're all ready to go as well?
Yes, he's all yours, Mrs. Eccles, and I hope he'll be very happy with you.
Oh, I'm sure he will. Well, Theodore, shall we go?
Mrs. Eccles, I have no wish to give offence, but I am not returning with you to your house.
What? But it was all arranged.
Well, I'm sorry if you've been put to any trouble, but I'm adamant. I cannot come with you.
But I've got everything ready. I was looking forward to having you. Is there nothing I can say to make you come with me?
Try apple dumplings.
Mrs. Eccles, there is nothing more we have to say to each other. Good morning to you.
Very well, then. I'll go. But you'll find you can't go through life trifling with a woman's feelings. You big, useless Bluebeard!
I'm amazed at you, Theodore.
Are you?
You make arrangements to stay with Mrs. Eccles, and when she comes for you, you change your mind.
I made the arrangements. Come now, Mrs. Clitheroe. You know very well it was your doing.
What? I did no such thing.
You must have done. Otherwise, why would James have gone round there?
But I never said... Oh, no. Jimmy. Jimmy! I don't like seeing you leaving us like this, Theodore. Are you sure you want to go?
Mrs. Clitheroe, I appreciate most sincerely the fact that I may stay on. But now I'm on my feet, I really feel much better. I should be all right.
Did you fix everything up on the phone, Theodore?
Yes, my neighbour will take me to work every day in his car, and his wife will prepare my evening meal for me. And I shan't be going anywhere at nights. I shall just sit by the fire with my leg up.
But where? The chimney?
Now, that'll be enough from you, Jim. If Theodore hadn't pleaded for you, you'd have had the hiding of your life.
Oh, there's the taxi, Mr. Craythorpe. I'll help you down the garden path before me grandad leaves his footprints on me sit upon.
Well, cheerio, Mrs. Sinclair. Cheerio, Mrs. Clitheroe.
Bye, Theodore.
Take care of that leg.
Just lean on my shoulder. That's it. Come on. You be taken for a tata. Bust out with the goldfish pond.
Oh, that boy is a real expert at causing trouble.
Yeah, well, he should be. He's had enough practice.
Mum! Mum!
What's happened?
Put the sheets back on the bed, Mum. Hop along, Craythorpe's done it again.
Those involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Leonard Williams as both Mr. Whittle and Mr. Craythorpe, Danny Ross, Diana Day, and Betty Alberge. The recorded program, written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, was produced in the north of England by James Casey and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the kid himself.
Up and taking nourishment, and I've just had my first meal sitting down. Ooh, I'm not kidding. Have you ever been kicked by a mule in a kilt? I wouldn't care, but it was Mr. Craythorpe's own fault he fell in our goldfish pond. When I was helping him down the path, a tanner dropped out of my pocket, and he bent down to pick it up. My tanner! Well, naturally. I put my foot on his hand and gave him a shove.